At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Bowden Blitz. I'm Joe Lisi, joined by former National Coach of the Year, Terry Bowden. Coach, an amazing slate of action coming up in week number 6, but let's turn back the clock to last Friday night. That game in South Beach, Miami wins over Virginia Tech 38-34, but the game is mired in controversy. Virginia Tech's Hail Mary originally scored a touchdown by the referees, but after further review, ruled incomplete, and Miami hangs on for the 4-point victory. Thoughts about the Hurricanes' performance last Friday night?
Well, you know, I talked to some of my good people down there within the program, and their comments were, we stunk it up. We played terrible. We made turnovers. We did not do what we could do. And all I could think of was, hey, you won the game. You played badly. Cam Ward made mistakes, and you won the game. A lot of people aren't doing that. Just go ask Ole Miss what they went through with Kentucky. When you don't play well or you're not at your best, you got to win the games. If you can run the table in Miami, oh, really, Louisville may be the only game. They'll be favored in every game the rest of the way. Louisville may be a little bit tougher down the road. But if you can run the table, it don't matter how much you win by, just that you win. I will say this, the Hail Mary, I've never heard that situation. Tell me if I'm wrong, but the referee said since the defender was laying out of bounds and had his hand on the ball was officially dead, although it looked like he caught it to me.
Yeah, originally it looked like he caught it to me as well. You saw the ball move after both players hit the ground, and they went to the rules committee and the instant replay review in terms of the control center. It took about 5 minutes, multiple angles. You can make the argument it was a catch. It wasn't a catch, but Miami somehow gets out of there with a victory. And I guess the biggest assessment for Miami wasn't Cam Ward, because he played lights out. Yet again, 343 yards in the win, 4 touchdown passes against the Hokies. The dynamic play in the fourth quarter where it looked like he was going to get sacked. He shovels it to his tight end, put them in a position for the go-ahead score. The biggest concern for me, Coach, was the defense, right? This was an inconsistent offense for Virginia Tech. Kyren Drones and that offense threw for a 189 through the air. They rushed for over 200 yards on the ground. Big picture, when you saw both sides of the ball for Miami, how did that defense look to you? Can they go up against the likes of Alabama or Georgia and still make a college football playoff run?
I know you got to play good defense. You got to back. You got to play great defense, and you want to get better. That does not mean you're not going to have games where you're just not sharp, where you're not tackling well. And remember, two of those turnovers from Miami's went for 7 points. 14 of those came off of turnovers in that game. But you've got to make sure as the season goes along, your defense has got to play better and better, because as you get to a conference championship or the playoffs, you're going to have some great teams. But let me say this about Cam Ward. You mentioned it. The play he made in the fourth quarter on that shuffle pass to the tight end, he's the only quarterback in America that can make that play. He's the only one in America that can make that play, and that tells you how good he is.
And that might be his Heisman moment, right? That when we look back at Miami's season, this was a game that last year Mario Cristobal and the Hurricanes could have lost. Go back to Georgia Tech, where they had Georgia Tech dead to rights, and the coaching mistake at the end cost them that victory. In years past, Miami would lose a game like that. Now they win, they're undefeated, and they have an upcoming game on the West Coast against Cal. We'll touch on that a little bit later in the show. Let's turn our attention to SMU, right? We brought up Florida State, and Florida State is reeling right now. 1-4 overall, they go on the road and get absolutely boat raced by the Mustangs. 42-16. But bigger picture, DJU gets hurt. He throws three interceptions in that loss. The defense allowed 204 rushing yards to SMU. Mike Norvell, I believe, is on the hot seat. But bigger picture, what do they do with the quarterback situation? Brock Glenn will get the start this week, but we know DJU wasn't the answer for the offense this season.
But you have to go with Brock Glenn. There's no more reason to go any further with DJU. Not only they don't think he's probably the guy, he doesn't think he's the guy. And this is the right time for him to have a shoulder injury and to go with the other player, sophomore from FSU, who played what the last games against Louisville last year and won and lost badly against Georgia. But he's coming back. You know, it's something different. I don't think they think he's the answer. They wouldn't have gone to DJU if they did. But they need to do something because, as you just said, it went to a bad season to one that Mike Norvell's got to worry about finding victories, or they get so far down, you don't know what the fans are going to do or the alumni are going to do in making decisions like that. That's a program that wants to be an elite championship-type program. They can't have a faltering season where they win almost nothing.
Yeah, I agree. And here's the other thing, and I want to get the coach's aspect on it. It's one thing if they're playing well and still losing games, right? The game a couple of weeks ago against California, the defense found a way to grind that victory out. But go to this loss. They 3 of 12 on third down conversions. They commit 10 penalties for 79 yards. The turnovers, they're not winning the turnover battle. These are all coachable things that the team can maybe, you know, progress on, and they're regressing from week number one. So that falls on the coaching staff, right? So now they have a game, a rivalry game with Clemson. They haven't defeated the Tigers in Tallahassee since 2014. What needs to be done from a coaching aspect to at least right in the ship and get this team back to 500?
They've just got to play one play at a time, not one game at a time, one play at a time, and do the best you can do and try to keep these players' heads in the game. The situation that may be evolving is that all these NILs, when you have a team with a lot of guys at portal in, they're on an NIL, and all of a sudden, and they came there not just to make the money, which they did, they want to win and play for a championship. You know, they don't grow up loving FSU. They don't grow up loving the alma mater or the colors or the Seminoles. They grow up, they got a good money deal, and now they're playing somewhere where they thought they would play for a championship. Once that's out the door, you got to wonder what their incentive is to play and to play hard, because when it comes down to being a great team, you've got to play hard every snap for that team that you're part of because you have an emotional attachment to it. I just wonder if that's part of the problem.
Another game that really went right down to the wire was North Carolina and Duke. It was a rivalry game. North Carolina entering that matchup last week, Coach, had won 5 straight against the Blue Devils by an average margin of victory of 15.2 points per game. They build a 20-0 first half lead. And in the end, you look at Manny Diaz, you look at Malik Murphy, they pulled the ball game out 21-20. That was a dynamic performance. They're undefeated in the conference right now and potentially can be a dark horse for a college football playoff appearance.
Absolutely. I think of Duke and Pitt both being teams that are undefeated and now keep themselves in the hunt. But North Carolina, you know, for the three or four years, no defense. They don't play great defense. If you don't have a Drake May as a quarterback, you're going to have struggle. And they don't play great defense. They've been beaten twice in a row now by teams they were favored over. And you just got to ask themselves, until they get a defense and establish a defense there and an identity on defense, they're going to struggle with games like that. And it does not look good right now for North Carolina down the road unless they can improve that situation.
Quickly, I want to talk about Manny Diaz, right? As a coordinator with Texas, you saw Miami, a great defensive coordinator, got a stint as a head coach. It didn't work out. Second stint now with Duke. Do you think he's learned in terms of being a head coach previously? Because right now it seems like he's playing with house money.
Yeah, I mean 5-0 at Duke, and it's always impressive. And Manny Diaz, you know, he started out as a graduate assistant for my father at Florida State, and he goes way back. And things sometimes don't work out at one program, and you go to a second program, Lane Kiffin, who had difficulty in certain places, Ed Orgeron, who struggled some places. They go somewhere else and win championships or put themselves in a position to win championships. I think Manny Diaz is proving at Duke he has a
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Chance to do that, but the season's still young. They have not played a lot of tough teams so far, but they've won some big ones that they needed to win, and now we can see if they can get themselves either in the chance to play for the conference championship or at least go to a good bowl game.
Another team that still is undefeated in the conference, the Louisville Cardinals. They lost to Notre Dame, but still undefeated in the conference. When Coach and I come back, we'll dive into week 6 of the ACC. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on the Bowden Blitz ACC edition, Joe Lisi and Terry Bowden breaking down week number 6 in the conference. At the start of the year, Coach, Clemson, Florida State looked to be the two best teams in regards to the ACC. Now in week number 6, there's one team clearly headed for potentially an ACC title, and that's the Clemson Tigers. Only one loss on the regular season to Georgia week number 1. They have won 3 straight by an average margin of victory of 32 points per game. They open up as a 14.5 point favorite on the road in Tallahassee. They have won 7 of the last 8 meetings, but dropped the game last year in Death Valley, 31-24. How do you see this game playing out?
Well, you know, this is a team, and you got to give Dabo Swinney credit, because there were a lot of people thought that they've lost it. They don't have that edge they used to have, that culture they used to have. But you know what? Other than the second half against Georgia, they played magnificently, and they played great defense. And the most important thing is they've become explosive on offense. They go for the throat. They go over top. They try to score from any place on the field, and that's the dynamic offense that they had back when Tony Elliott was the offensive coordinator, and they had Trevor Lawrence as a quarterback, and what I saw when I was over there as an analyst. And so they are on fire, and you've got to admit, they are the team, I think, in the conference that has the best chance to go out there and line up against Miami for the conference championship.
I agree right now. I really like the progression and how Cade Klubnik has played. Now, last week he throws for 255 yards, 4 touchdowns. Klubnik has played well in 3 straight games, to your point, has thrown 12 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. Completion percentage, only 45% last week, 15 of 31, but he looks more confident. They're taking bigger deep shots in regards to opposing defenses. And when you could stretch defenses over the top, that opens up the rushing attack. So that's the way I look for them to attack Florida State this coming Saturday. Biggest question, though, for me, Coach, is Florida State, right? They have nothing to play for at this point. A conference championship most likely out the window, quarterback hurt. But for Mike Norvell to potentially elevate this team, this has to be like their Super Bowl, right? The college football playoff. They're playing at home, 8 o'clock at night in regards to Tallahassee. You have to believe he pulls out all the stops to potentially strike the upset.
Got to, because right now they're at a I don't want to say a turning point in their program, where they've got to show the fans something. They got to show their alumni something, and were so good last year. I'm a big Mike Norvell fan just because of the way he's done the program and built that program back up to the top. But this has been a disaster of a season. But this game's critical. If Clemson were to blow them out and they would go through that, you got to wonder if they've got enough confidence to pull a win or two out down the road. And that's a scary type of record that you might have with one victory so far in the season. So very important. This game is very important. And not that Florida State wins. I don't think they can win the game. But can they keep it close? Can they keep Clemson from just blowing them off the field? And that's going to be something that we've got to watch for.
I think when you see the total as well, 47.5, if they were to get over that, you would think Cade Klubnik and that game type of style favors Clemson and their offense, right? They're more balanced. They have the better passing attack and the better quarterback heading into this matchup. If we're to under the 47.5, that would potentially lean to Florida State, that ugly type of game where they grinded it out against Cal, where they ran the football, limited possessions, and try to steal it in regards to the fourth quarter, the question that I have regarding Florida State as well and how potentially Clemson might attack, even though Klubnik is playing dynamic, you got to believe the rushing attack with Phil Maffa and the offensive line of Clemson. If Florida State's given up 200 yards on the ground to the likes of potentially SMU, you got to believe Clemson wants to attack with the rushing attack first, maybe.
Well, you know, remember now, when you throw the deep ball, the explosive play, those safeties are playing more on their heels instead of on their toes. Their first step is backwards because they're worried about the deep ball. And I think Clemson needs to keep doing that, but that has to be mixed with the running attack. That has to come out and make the running attack better. You mentioned that their quarterback was not throwing the high percentage that you see at some of these other schools because they go deep. Play action, go deep. But what that's got to do is open up the running attack because you have to have a good combination of run and pass as you get toward the conference championships and the playoffs. You can't just throw the football. You can't just run it. You got to mix them together and be diverse in both sides passing and the running.
I agree. And when you look at Clemson as well, I think the biggest thing from a defensive perspective, Coach, in regards to maybe what we didn't see as much last year is the front seven. When Brett Venables was coaching that defense, they averaged basically 47 total sacks per year for about 8 or 9 seasons, especially led them to 2 national championships. They tailed off last year in the 30s, and now through 5 games, they have 18 total sacks. That front seven is getting quarterback pressures. That's going to be very difficult for Florida State to score points, right? They're going to have to stay in manageable third down type of situations. And when you only convert 3 of 12 last week against SMU, we know this is a potentially different animal in Clemson. How do you see Florida State potentially attacking this defense?
Well, Florida State needs to, one, mix running early downs, first down, second down, run the ball and short control passes. Get yourself down to a manageable third downs. If they come out there with a lot of third and longs, they've got a prayer. That front defensive front for Clemson will be all over the quarterback, and he already is going to struggle. He's had a problem with this consistently in his games that he played so far. So they already have quarterback troubles. If they want to stay close, they do have to throw the ball a little bit on first down because those are manageable throws, ones where they're probably not going to be pressuring you like a third and long. Mix your run in with the throws on early downs so you have a good balance of run to pass and don't get yourself into third and longs.
Coach, I want to bring up before we transition, Cade Klubnik. He's not mentioned in regards to the Heisman. 12 touchdowns, like I mentioned, 4 interceptions. But if he leads this team to a potential 11-1 record, starts putting up, let's say, 35 touchdown passes, do you think he should be mentioned with Cam Ward? Or right now, Cam Ward, Jalen Milroe are right in the running as the front runners. Can Klubnik get back into this thing to potentially get to New York?
Oh, I think if he gets himself into the conference championship and his late season numbers are good, you got to remember there's a lot of football to be played. I think a viewer's too at Texas. He's been sitting on the bench and he has a chance to play the second half and get themselves into a championship. So I think Klubnik, they have to continue to go on and win the football game, gets that team into a conference championship, because there's two things a Heisman quarterback needs to have: either an incredible stats like you saw last year at LSU or an incredible season. And you don't have to have both of them. If you can take your team to a great year and a great finish, you got a chance for that Heisman, unless that running back over at Boise State doesn't win it.
We'll come back with more ACC action.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on the Bowden Blitz, rounding out week number 6 in the ACC. Coach and I left off talking about Clemson and Florida State Saturday night in Tallahassee. Turn our attention to another Saturday night game on the West Coast in Berkeley. Miami, a 10.5-point favorite, squaring off against Justin Wilcox and the Cal Bears. Justin Wilcox and Cal coming off a bye week, extra week of preparation, Coach. When you look at this matchup, 10.5-point favorites for Miami. After last week's scare, how do you think they play on the road in the West Coast?
Well, you know, it's going to, that on the road travel is going to be tough. And I think I looked at that game, 10 o'clock, 9:30 Eastern time. That's a late, late game for those players getting on that clock and that jet lag. Going to be interesting to see how they handle the distance and the change in the way you have to prepare for a football game in that game. But Miami is coming off a game where they know this one's important. Miami needs to know they need some quality, good look points to win big, to win pretty. Because I'm going to tell you something. When it comes down to the 12 teams for the playoff or getting to a conference championship or maybe running the table, you want to have games that are pretty, games that get votes early to put you in a position. I think Miami goes out there and has a great football game because they didn't play great last week. The coaches have no problem getting their attention this week, and they're a better football team than Cal. They've got a quarterback that can make things happen and take the game in control all by himself. So, again, the travel concerns you. The fact that Miami did not play their best last week and won, I think they come back, had great attention during the week, have a nice, has a great ball game out there, and comes away with a good victory over Cal.
I'm going to shock you. I actually think this game is going to be a little bit lower scoring. I think Cal might be in it in regards to the spread aspect just because of their defense right now. They're only giving up 12.8 points per game, holding opposing offenses, coach, to around 105 rushing yards per game, play very good in regards to third down defense, and they've held opposing quarterbacks to 182 passing yards per game, but more importantly, 51% completion percentage. So if they can at least limit Cam Ward, force him to methodically work down the field, take time and possession, just the way they did in regards to the Florida State game, I think they'll be in it. But I really like the under 54.5 from the defensive perspective because I think that's the only way Cal could potentially strike the upset.
Well, they are going to have to slow down the passing goals. Cam Ward has come out week in and week out and had incredible numbers in the passing game. They've got exciting receivers. They've got a dynamic offense, a good offensive line, and he finds a way to make plays. And so I think he's going to score points now. I mean, are they going to beat the odds and beat the line? I think they will. I think they will against Cal because I think Miami will come back from last week and have a big, big game. And I think their defense will play well.
When you look at the performance last Friday night where they were sloppy on both sides of the ball, as Mario Cristobal, and if you were on that staff, what's the biggest thing that you want to obviously preach to your team going into a tough environment? Berkeley, we know upsets have been there in regards to the Pac-12 when the Bears were a member of that conference. What's the biggest thing that they have to stress? Is it turnovers? Is it the ability to stay within the game plan? From your aspect, the coach's aspect, what do you feel is the biggest factor?
Well, I mean, anytime you go into a game you're supposed to win, there's two things that can get you beat: turnovers and explosive plays. You've got to make sure you don't give up the one play drive that changes the outcome. You don't turn the ball over and give the other team more at-bats than they need to have or should have, which Cam Ward and the offense did last week. So go in there and make sure you don't turn the ball over. Don't give up explosive plays. If they're going to run the football, they may keep it closer. They may beat the line on the game, but they're not going to beat you if you do those things. Then I would show them that Ole Miss video a couple times. I might show them that Ole Miss game and let them see what can happen if you don't play well against one of these 3-1 teams, these mid-conference teams that are not on the top 10 in America, but they're that next level. They're the ones that are going to beat you. So many of these teams that are top 10, they get ready for other top 10 teams, but they're not ready for a team that is 10-25 or right around that 3-1 type of record. You better be ready for those games because in this day and age, those kind of teams can beat you.
Last game in the conference for the week, surprising Pitt, 5-0, taking on North Carolina. North Carolina has won two straight in the series, and they've been higher scoring games. How do you see this game playing out, coach?
Well, they had Drake Mays. They had a different quarterback. They don't have a quarterback right now like that, and their defense has not been good. The one thing that Mack Brown has to accept is they have not had good defense since he's been there. They've had some great quarterback play, and they've outscored some people. They've had a couple of tough losses. I'm going to tell you, Pitt right now is confident. They're feeling good about themselves. They beat some poor teams very badly, Youngstown State. I think they put 73 on last week. But I think Pitt is riding their confidence. And just remember what a couple of years ago they played for the conference championship. This team knows what winning is all about. That year, last year, they're riding it. I think they'll do a good job. I think they win the game.
We'll see you next week on the Bowden Blitz.